Saturday night, the Vermont legislature adjourned despite Governor Phil Scott's promise to veto the just-passed budget and property tax bills. Late Tuesday, the governor sent a letter to the House Speaker and Senate pro tem, notifying them that a special session would begin next Wednesday, May 23rd. During a conversation earlier Tuesday, Senate pro tem Tim Ash, a progressive Democrat, expressed strong disagreement with the governor's recent actions.
Our budget passed 29-0, so the most conservative members of the Senate and the most liberal believed that the budget was a good one that they could support. The tax bill was co-authored and voted for by the Senate's most conservative member, and a majority of the Republicans in the Senate voted for it. So this is an unusual situation. We have overwhelmingly broad support for budget and tax bills, but we have a governor who whose administration has been so disengaged all year, just like last year, and they seem to be ruling by veto threats. And so the legislature can't get in the head of our current governor, who somehow finds fault with these bills enjoying massive support, not only from the legislature, but from the public. So I think the governor wanted to veto these bills. I think for him, he's establishing some kind of credibility with a certain segment of the population by standing strong on his veto threats. And I think he probably wishes he could back out of it, but now he can't, because he said he'd veto the bills before they were even written. And so I think we knew he wanted to veto them.
Tim Ash, the governor is saying the budget and property tax bill do raise taxes and fees, and he's holding to his no taxes, no fees promise. Do those bills actually do that?
Well, the budget certainly does not. No one can understand what the governor is talking about as it regards to the budget. It grows slower than his own budget. It restores some of the quite awful cuts he was proposing to programs that serve people with disabilities like quadriplegia, severely developmentally disabled people, programs that help attract doctors to rural parts of the state. There are no fees in it. And so the governor on that one, we're at a loss. And behind the scenes in the state house, Republicans, Democrats, administration officials, lobbyists, no one can understand what the governor's talking about on the budget. On the property tax bill, the initial thinking in December was that property tax rates would go up 9 cents, as a result of school districts coming in with budgets that were far lower in additional spending than had been anticipated. We were able to draw it down all the way to about 2.5 cents. So what we've done is allowed school districts' budget growth to be accommodated by floating the tax rate up, which has been done for decades in Vermont. And the governor, I think, wishes he could go back and veto individual school budgets. There's no other explanation for it. The legislature isn't the one who voted for those school budgets. It's the people of Vermont. So really, what the governor is doing, he's not vetoing the actions of the legislature so much as he's vetoing the actions of local voters.
Where do you think his last-minute proposal, for the second time he did it last year, plays in?
Well, everyone knew that this was probably coming. The administration's tactic is to be disengaged, wait till the last second, and then float a grand proposal when they know the clock has already run out. But in this case, to call it a proposal is somewhat unusual. So the two primary cost containment measures that the governor is suggesting, the first is reduced personnel costs in our schools through attrition. This is already happening, and the governor admits that's the case. The governor floated a mandatory headcount cut at every school in the state that was panned by every single observer, so he backed off of that one. So now he wants to work with school districts to help them manage personnel better, and we agree. On the special ed front, reducing future growth of special ed costs, the legislature, by its own initiative, just passed legislation doing just that. So in terms of cost containment, the governor is not doing anything beyond what the legislature has suggested. So the difference is what the governor proposes to do is to trick voters this year by taking one-time money to the tune of $58 million, which in Vermont is real money, and artificially lowering tax rates for 1 year. Then what will happen is next year, taxpayers are going to face the music. They're going to have to come up with $58 million to patch this accounting gimmick. What the legislature has done is said, let the tax rate float to the place it needs to be to pay for our school budgets. Take the one-time money and use it to spend down our pension obligations, which over time, the investment we're making in the legislative budget would save $100 million. And about that, there is no dispute. Our state treasurer stands behind that number, as do we. So it's an unusual situation where a Republican governor and administration are the ones who are operating in a fiscally cavalier manner, while the legislature, which gets accused of lots of things, is the one exercising fiscal discipline.
Tim Ash, you sound extremely exasperated by that situation.
Well, we find ourselves in a totally unprecedented situation where budgets, tax bills, and policy bills that are being voted on 30 to nothing in the Senate, 29 to nothing, 26 to 3, bills with massive bipartisan support. Then we turn around and we have a governor who is proposing to veto a whole number of those bills. So I would feel differently if we had highly partisan votes in the Senate and in the House. But in this case, the only odd party out here appears to be the governor. So we throw our hands up and say, what is the problem here? And the problem seems to be that this governor, instead of being engaged interacting with the legislature from day one, issues veto threats on day one, sits out the process, and then waits till the end to score whatever political points he perceives are to be gained here.
Normally, when a special session is called in a situation like this, you anticipate that leadership will be meeting prior to the rank and file coming in for the actual special session. Do you think anything will be accomplished between leadership in the interim, considering what you've just said?
Well, if by leadership, will the House and Senate leadership be communicating to figure out a path? The answer is yes, but we're very sensitive to not appearing that just a handful of people are making decisions which affect the entire state. So as soon as is practical, we'll be bringing in a whole number of legislators so that they're all at the table making the decisions. The administration, it's hard to see. I don't even know who in the administration makes these decisions. It's a bit of a black box. And so we're all ears, but when the question is, are we exasperated, we're actually quite confused by the actions of this administration. It's making less and less sense.
It doesn't sound like you anticipate negotiating with the administration in the interim either.
Well, I do not want closed doors discussions with this administration. Their so-called proposals have been basically debunked, not only by education professionals, tax professionals, their own administration officials. So we won't negotiate against a false spreadsheet that the administration wheeled out in the 24th hour. What we will do is figure out if the administration has realistic goals that we can achieve together. But so far, other than sort of political sloganeering, we haven't seen anything. So, as I say, these are unprecedented times. In decades that I've followed the Vermont legislature and the Vermont governor and other observers, no one has ever seen such cavalier use of the fifth floor.
Even though you have these frustrations, the legislature was successful at passing a number of bills this session.
Sure did. Unfortunately, the noise around the governor's veto threats will mask a lot of underlying work the legislature did. We voted to increase the minimum wage, which is a long overdue pay raise for tens of thousands of people. The legislature passed a paid family leave bill, which would allow people to take time off of work for taking care of family members and maternity and paternity leave. We passed important environmental bills that would protect consumers and citizens from pollution that makes people sick. We've passed important workplace protections to prevent people from being subjected to discrimination in pay and employment in the workplace. On agriculture, we've helped support our very much struggling agricultural and dairy industry, who are getting totally stuffed by the national economics of dairy pricing. And so on almost every front, we've made quite headway in this year's legislature. And my hope is that once we get through this issue of the special session with the governor, those important policy achievements will come into fuller light.
And Tim Ash, obviously, it is a political year. Are you running for office again?
I am running again. And what I'm hopeful is that as we approach this anticipated special session, the administration sits at the table in governing mode and not campaigning mode. It's been quite disturbing. The moment the administration put out their so-called education proposal with all the numbers which have now been debunked, they immediately started activating the Phil Scott for Governor campaign. So the moment they did one thing out of the governor's office, their campaign would immediately start sending out blasts. They've been trashing legislators individually and as a group. So while we have been quite disciplined and restrained in trying to get to a finish line that everyone can be proud of and agree to, we've seen this ratcheting up of a campaign from the governor. So my hope is in the coming weeks, the governor will tell his campaign to lay low and cool it so that we can all do what's best for the people. Left unresolved is whether the governor will sign important environmental bills. He's already vetoed one bill that was strongly supported by the legislators from Bennington County related to water testing. And the budget includes money to help pay for medical testing of people in the Bennington area who have who might have been subjected to PFOA. So the governor's budget threat, this is not just politics. These are people's lives and well-being. And so it's our hope that the people of Bennington County won't get stiffed by this governor's veto pledges.